Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Could not think of a more beautiful place to be this morning than here with y'all. The title for my lessons is, Do We Have Assurance? I like the songs that Charlie picked because it kind of goes with my lesson here, but do you have assurance? Everyone in here, I'm very well assured, is they know what insurance is. Most of us, we have car insurance, we have health insurance, we have homeowners insurance. Maybe you have boat, RV, motorcycle insurance. But for the most part, everything that we own, we have some type of insurance for. And if you don't know what insurance is, it is defined as a practice or an arrangement by which you will get a guarantee from a company compensation for a specified loss, damage, illness, or death in return for a premium, a high premium at that. So what is the reason we have insurance? Have you ever asked yourself that? I mean, I used to all the time. I never really understood what it was. I guess it was because I was always fortunate enough to have really good health insurance growing up. And by the time I fell off my parents' insurance at 25, I started with the railroad and was always covered. But I did have to get car insurance, you know, because it is the law in the state of Texas, right, that we must be insured. But I guess I never really understood what insurance was for, because here I was always trying to get those premiums down. I mean, we pay these crazy premiums for car insurance, right? They're insane. Well, it wasn't until recently I learned the true meaning of having insurance and why then premiums cost so much. Because as most of you know, I was in a bad car wreck recently in Houston, and my car got totaled, and also I did a number to my back, and I'm still going through therapy for that. And it wasn't until now that I actually know what I know now on the importance of having insurance. Because I actually got reimbursed the exact amount I paid for my car. Actually more, because I'm getting my deductible back. And I had that PIP on my insurance plan. If y'all don't know what that is, it's personal injury protection. I didn't know what it was, but I'm glad I had it because it's paying all my medical bills. But the thing that scares me the most is right after the accident, my insurance adjuster calls me and he says, he was telling me he was scared by looking at my policy that I only had $25,000 in property damage coverage. And for you all, those that don't know, that's what happens if the accident's your fault. It covers the other driver for $25,000. And as we most know, most new vehicles these days cost way more than $25,000. So he said, what'll happen is if it is your fault, they're not going to come at you for the remainder balance, but they're going to sue you for the whole amount. This got me really scared, but it also got me to thinking. Because here I was trying to get a lower rate, trying to get my premiums down all the time on my insurance, when really I was getting a pretty good deal. So this also got me to really thinking on how important not only insurance is, but also got me to thinking what my eternal assurance was. And yes, you were probably thinking, is this guy ever going to start preaching, or is he just going to tell you here about his whole life? But the truth is, the most important assurance that we could ever have is the one for eternal life. You see, we get insurance like car insurance, where it's going to cover us in case an unforeseen circumstance of an event that might happen. Like if you get in a car wreck like happened to me. But you see, insurance is only for a short time. It's going to cover you of a risk, like I said, it's something that might happen. But you see, assurance difference from that. Because assurance is going to cover you in an event that is most certainly going to happen, like death. For instance, every one of us in here is going to die at some point physically. So when we die physically, what about spiritually? You see, Jesus Christ, he offers us the ultimate assurance policy. And he offers to us for free, meaning it's not going to cost you a dime. And the best part is, unlike, say, a life insurance policy, where you pay a premium for the rest of your life, and when you do pass away, your child or your spouse is your beneficiary, and they get that reward so that they are covered after you pass. But with the policy that Jesus offers, you are the beneficiary, meaning you are going to get that reward. We will all get it if we live faithful. Because Jesus already paid the debt. He shed his own blood so that me and you can have that policy. We see in John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. John chapter 11, verse 25 through 26. Jim went over this last week in our Bible class. But in John 11, 25 and 26, it reads, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? I could not think of a better assurance policy than that, because you see, Jesus already paid the debt. And like it says in verse 26 there, liveth and believeth in him. Meaning we have to live a life like Christ. And we have to believe in him. And notice how liveth and believeth, it has that little TH at the end, especially in the King James Version. That the at the end means continuous. It's not one time in your life. Meaning once we believe and we are living like Christ, we have to do that the remainder of our life till death. It doesn't stop. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about what it means to live like Christ so that we understand just how we can get that assurance of eternal life in heaven with him forever. A place where there is no pain, a place where there is no suffering, no tears, and no virus. A place where people don't fight or kill one another over toilet paper. It is insane to me how people are acting so crazy over this virus. It is like they have no fear for the Lord. But you see, we need to fear God like Noah did. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the savings of his house, by the which he commanded the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. You see, God seen the wickedness in man, and God destroyed the whole world with the flood. And the scriptures tell us that the earth is not going to be flooded again. But they do tell us that we are going to be burned up. The earth will be burned with fire. If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. We need to fear the Lord, not some virus that will only kill a small percentage of people's flesh, but able to kill the entire world and everything in it. Like Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and the body in hell. And like in Jim's lesson last week, the percentage of actual deaths in the world to the actual population is nothing. And even if we get the virus, at worst, it is only going to kill your physical body. But we were all still going to have to face the judgment. Of course, there is nothing wrong with taking precautions, keeping our distance, keeping social distancing, washing our hands constantly, using hand sanitizer, keeping good hygiene, stocking up on food and staying home so that we're not help spreading the virus. But we do not need to fear a virus because at worst, it can only kill your physical body. Everyone is scared because this virus has changed their daily routines. Mingo went over this morning. It has shut down all the restaurants that people like to eat at every day. It has closed all the gyms down. It has gotten people laid off. People have lost their jobs. And if they haven't lost their jobs, they're scared they're going to lose their jobs. It has people scared that they're going to get sick, or worse, their children get sick. The virus is scary. Just think back a month ago, maybe even, say, 2 weeks ago, when you were just living your normal routine. Life was just normal. You weren't afraid of nothing. It's crazy how our way of living is structured and how our lives can be changed within just a short period of time like that. But I could not think of a better time to grow closer to God. You see, because God is, He will be the same during this virus, and when this virus goes away, He will be the same. You see, God never changes. We need to draw near to Him, and He will draw near to us. I love the comment that was said last Sunday after worship when we were discussing on what the congregation wants to do about this panic. And it was mentioned that even though this virus is bad, most men of this congregation, we're still going to have to go out to our jobs. We're still going to have to go get food at the grocery stores for our family, because we still have to provide for our family at this time. And this is true, and it brought tears to my eyes, because we could get this virus anywhere. And I couldn't think of a more better place than right here with my brothers and sisters in Christ, right here with my church family. And of course, if one of us was sick, we're not going to come and try to get the rest of our family sick anyways. Back to how we can get our assurance for eternal life. We need to live like Christ. And the first step to living like Christ is, first, we must get into Christ. To do this, we must do the 6 simple steps of salvation. You've heard them in many of my lessons. You've heard them in many of Jim's lessons. But the steps of salvation start like this. Step 1, we must hear. And hear means simply what y'all are doing today. Y'all are hearing the Word of God. If y'all would turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 17. Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 17. It reads this: For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon Him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The second step is we must believe. And to believe means of simply to believe what we just heard. And not what I got to tell you, not what man has to say, but what the Scriptures have to say. We have to believe the gospel. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We see in this verse that we must have faith. So turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It defines faith here as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you go down to verse 6 there in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of him, of them that diligently seek Him. This brings me to step 3. We must repent. You see, once we have heard the gospel and we believe the gospel, we must repent of our sins. If you turn to Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Go to Acts 17:30. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but commands all men everywhere to repent. This brings me to step four. We must confess. What must we confess, you may ask? We must confess our faith in Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. But what saith thee? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It brings me to step five. We must be baptized. You see, baptism is necessary for salvation. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 4. Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts 2:38 says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This takes me to Mark 16, 16. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Finally, turn with me to John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. We must be baptized. All of these scriptures, they clearly teach that baptism is necessary for salvation. That's why it's important for us to study the scriptures for ourselves and not to listen to everyone that preaches. But we must see the truth for ourselves. Study. Because there's many false teachers out there among us, and they like to use verses like John 3:16. Many of y'all have heard John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Clearly, there is more to the scriptures. We cannot base our whole salvation on one scripture alone, but we must look at them as a whole. This brings me to step six. Step six, and you see some people teach, well, once we're saved, we're always saved. But you will never find that anywhere in the scriptures. It does not say that anywhere. You see, after we are baptized, that puts us into Christ. Then after we are in Christ, we must remain faithful till death. Once we get baptized in Christ, a ceremony just took place. We come out of that water. We come out clean of our sins, and we start a new life. A life like Christ. And if we are living a life like Christ, then that means we liveth in him. Remember back in John chapter 11 verse 26, liveth and believeth in him. The only way we can liveth in Jesus is first we got to get into Jesus, and then we have to remain faithful unto death. Meaning we cannot go back to our old life. It's kind of like when you say your wedding vows or you hear someone's wedding vows. To love and to cherish, till death do us apart, according to God's holy ordinance. The same goes for living like Christ. Once we put on Christ in baptism, then we just made our vows to Christ until death. We must walk in newness of life, meaning we need to walk, talk, and act like Christ. We can also read in John 11, 26 of the King James Version, that liveth like I've been telling y'all about. Meaning you can't be saved, or it doesn't say once saved, always saved. You have to continue. We can see this in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, it talks about how we can fall away. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You see, once we take on Christ, some of us are still going to fall. We can see that in the Scriptures. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. We can clearly see from this verse that we can fall away. So that means we need to study the Scriptures for ourselves, because it is clear, once saved, always saved is not in there. But only is it not in there, it speaks against it. Because we can fall away. That's why it is so important for us, especially us in here as brothers and sisters in Christ, to always help our brethren. When someone misses worship several times, we need to call. We need to check up on them to make sure that they have not fallen away. And if they have, we need to pray for them, like Mingo was talking about. We need to pray and pray and pray and try to encourage them on coming back. This virus going around is scary because it causes people to stop that routine, like I was saying. And if we stop coming to worship, for some, it may be hard to return back to worship. Because you see, the devil, he grabs a hold of you and he tells you, you do not need it. It makes it feel like everything's okay. But in reality, we need God. And we need God more now than ever. This week, as we go on with our daily lives, please call or text, maybe Messenger, all of those that are at home, especially those that are quarantined right now, those that are sick. Let them know that we love them, that we are praying for them, and help encourage them to return once this thing is over. Remember, encourage everyone this week. And if we fight that good fight, we may receive the crown of life. Like we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. So this week, remember, we, every human being, has an assurance policy that's offered to us. It is free. You are the beneficiary. And that is the one that Jesus offers us. And he's already paid the debt with his own blood. That whosoever shall believeth and liveth in him till death will seek that great reward. And just know on how Jesus lived his life. And just, it makes you think, how would Jesus act right now if he was here with this virus going on? I mean, we know he would be out helping people, helping the sick. But I believe he would also be trying to help the unbelieving, trying to save their souls. And I couldn't think of a better time than now to get closer to God with everything, all the scary stuff going on in this world today. Like James 4, verse 8 reads, James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That concludes my lesson for today. But maybe you have a friend. Maybe you have a coworker, a neighbor perhaps, that does not know about this assurance policy. Maybe you could help them. Maybe you could be a blessing in them to some way. Maybe it's some of those that are quarantined. You could help them get their groceries. You could help run an errand for them. But in some way this week, let's let our light shine. so that men may see the good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I also want all our members to know, especially those that are streaming in this morning that are quarantined at home, if y'all need anything, and I mean anything, I don't care if it's toilet paper, food, any kind of groceries, medical supplies, please give us a call. If you need me to bring you the Lord's Supper today and pray with you, please call, text me. If you don't feel comfortable calling me, please contact one of our elders. We are here for you and we love you. That's it for today. If maybe someone has sin in their life and would like to come forward, maybe you just want the prayers of the congregation at this time. Maybe you have not been quite living a life like Christ. The time to come forward is now as Charlie sings the song that has been selected.